Hello, welcome to the Toncast. I'm very special guest Todd Robert Anderson, back after a couple of weeks of being absent due to holidays and other events, which I'll talk about. And in addition to talking about those things, I'm also going to talk about an email. I got an email last time I recorded the Toncast. I invited anyone who would like me to discuss a particular topic to email me at my website, info@toddrobertanderson.com. And if you're hearing this now and you feel like you missed the boat, go ahead, email me, and I will answer your questions or address your concerns or whatever it may be. Right here on an episode of the Toncast in which there's no host but just a very special guest. That very special guest, of course, being me, very special guest Todd Robert Anderson. So the email I got that I'm going to discuss is from a guy who calls himself God. Maybe it's really God. I'm not a believer in a Judeo-Christian God for a lot of reasons, but maybe it's real. He's real, and he emailed me, or chances are it's just someone who likes to remain anonymous on the internet and can say whatever he wants and not get in trouble at work or with the wife or whatever. But before I do that, let me talk about, I'm not making an excuse for missing a couple weeks of recording. I'm merely giving you reasons, and I think they're good, solid reasons. First and foremost, it's very busy this time of year, especially for commercial actors such as me. And that's not to say I'm just a commercial actor, but I tend to get a lot of commercials. I mean, I'd much rather be a regular on a TV series because there's more money in that. But commercials are certainly better than guest star roles as far as cash is concerned. So I keep doing them. You may have seen me in a Sears Craftsman commercial recently where all these kids are sleeping peacefully by the Christmas tree, having opened their presents, and it pans over them and it pans past me as well, a grown man sleeping happily, cuddling with a drill. It's a fantastic commercial. Glad to be part of it. Haven't received any residual checks yet, but I hope to receive some really soon. It'd be great. Cause I gotta pay, I have bills. There's bills that I need to pay. So anyway, this time of year, the end of the year, it always gets crazy busy cause all the, you know, the clients, the corporations who hire the ad agencies, who hire the production companies, who then in turn hire me to do the commercials, get to the end of the year and realize, oh, we haven't spent all the money we allocated for commercials. So we better shoot some commercials really fast so they don't cut our budget next year. So it gets really busy around the holidays, which is fine. But LA, I think in general gets really busy before the holidays. I think a lot of people in LA don't go into work all the time. I think they stay out of work. And then, when it gets near the end of the year, they suddenly go, oh, well, I'm going to have 3 weeks off. Because it's L.A. and we take long vacations here. And I have 3 weeks off, so I better go to work every day and work long hours. So they go into the end of the year thinking, wow, that guy works really hard. And then they forget about all the days that they shirked. So traffic gets really heavy this time of year, and which is awesome. And then I go driving around in the heavy traffic to all the commercial auditions to try and get jobs, which is good because I like to get jobs. It's hectic and a little frustrating to spend so much time sitting in traffic when I'd rather, you know, be jacking it. But I suppose I could jack it in traffic. Why not? I should start jacking it in traffic. To hell with being civil and evolved. I'm just going to start jacking it while I'm sitting in traffic, you know, to save time. So anyway, so that was part of it. And then I, the weekend before Thanksgiving, I was going to do a podcast before Thanksgiving, but then I got a really bad, toothache, really bad toothache in the back of my mouth. And of course the dentist's office were closed and it kept getting worse and worse. And my wife was out of town. So I had the kid, it was just me and the kid. And I remember, like the toothache started like at late Friday night, and then Saturday it started getting worse, and I bit into, I can't remember, a sandwich or something, and the suction of the gluten, like I hit the tooth and it hurt to hit the tooth, but then when I pulled the bite away and whatever food was in between the two teeth, like pulled off the tooth, oh, the pain was unbelievable. I mean, it was unbelievable. So I had to pretend my kid was there, you know, and it was just me and him. And I don't want, like, what I wanted to do was scream at the top of my lungs and start screaming and crying and asking, why me? Why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? 'Cause I've never had a cavity in my life. And I've never experienced cavity pain. I assumed it was a cavity, even though the last time I went to the dentist, you know, they were like, no, you don't have any cavities coming in or anything, 'cause you got great teeth. And I was like, awesome. But then I'm thinking, oh, well, I got my first cavity. Oh, no big deal. But you know, because the dentist's office were closed, I had to go through the whole weekend alone with my son, screaming pain, pretending, you know, like I had to choke back. Like, it's been a long time since I've been hurt so bad that it made me want to cry. Like when you're a kid and you get hurt and you don't have to be a man when you're a kid. So you just like get hurt and you just cry. And now, you know, I'm a man, so I don't do that even when I get hurt. But this hurts so bad I wanted to cry. But I had my kid. I was alone with my kid. If my wife had been there, I probably would have locked myself in the bathroom and started screaming and crying. But she wasn't there, so I had to stay strong for the kid. I didn't want to freak him out like, oh, gosh, I'm home alone with dad and mom's out of town and dad's having a breakdown because of his stupid tooth. I didn't want that for my son. I didn't want that. So I had to pretend like I like got up because it was I involuntarily jumped out of my chair and was like, ow, ow, ow. And he was like, what? And I was like, oh, nothing. It's a toothache. It's just a little pain. It'll go away. But that sharp pain did, but it never dulled out. I mean, for the rest of the weekend, I was in excruciating pain trying to pretend that I wasn't in pain, couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. You know, I was taking Tylenol. That didn't work. Everything I took, I took ibuprofen, which worked a little bit better than Tylenol. But ibuprofen gives me horrible heartburn. So then I couldn't sleep, even if the pain was dulled out. I couldn't sleep because I had horrible heartburn. It was a nightmare weekend. So, and then on Monday I went into the dentist, you know, and, they told me it wasn't a cavity. So, you know, I still have my record of no cavities my whole life. Big fucking deal, man. Live a little, eat some sugar, you know? But they said it was a cracked tooth. I cracked my tooth from grinding my teeth at night, I guess. Which is awesome. Awesome. So, and you know, I've mentioned before on the podcast that I have this persistent daily headache. So they were suggesting that the headache was caused by me grinding my teeth, but I've already been down that road and I actually had worn these night guards. They're going to give me a new night guard so I don't crack another tooth. The whole tooth was cracked from the bottom to the top, you know, and then, you know, so I have to get a new night guard just to prevent that from happening. But I have a feeling that the headache that I have, like when the weather changes, which is changing here in LA pretty drastically right now all the time, going from hot to cold and cold to hot. And when that happens, my headache gets worse. And I imagine I was grinding, because of the pain. 'Cause you know, when you get hurt, you grit your teeth. So when my pain is going all night, I'm gritting my teeth and I grit it so hard, I crack my tooth from top to bottom. So I went in and then of course, like half the doctors, the dental surgeons who were like would have grafted in a little thing to put a fake tooth on top of weren't there. But I had to get the tooth out because I was in pain. So I have to go back and do more. Like the timing of the thing couldn't have been fucking worse. It couldn't have been worse. So anyway, they had to do like a bone grafting thing, which of course I wasn't covered for because I'm only I had a choice. I could have the tooth out and have the pain reduced and have to go do more procedures that my dental plan actually covers down the road. But I would have to pay out of pocket $650 to do this bone graft. So the gum would heal, and then so I could go through Thanksgiving without the excruciating pain, or I could have waited a week with this cracked tooth in my head, like excruciating pain, not able to eat or sleep for a whole week, just so I could, you know, save the $600 that I don't have because these residual, where are my residual checks? Where are they coming? Why aren't they coming? Anyway, SAG is so slow. SAG and AFTRA merged. AFTRA is the another actors union. And SAG and AFTRA were always at odds because AFTRA would underbid jobs that SAG actors, asked more money for. So SAG was – so they merged them. And now that they've merged them – and by the way, when they merged them, they didn't merge the health plan. So you still have to make SAG money. What? You have to do SAG jobs to get your SAG insurance, and the AFTRA jobs don't go towards SAG insurance. So the insurance plans are fucking separate, but the unions are merged. What? What? So anyway, that's like a whole mess. And since they've merged, it takes them like 6 extra months to get to process paychecks and get your money. It doesn't take them that, like, they still send the dues checks on time. You know, I got like one day I got a residual check for a penny and another residual check for like $1.84 and a bill for union dues for $700. Fucking Jesus. I mean, Jesus. That is pathetic, you know, and every time I try to get into an argument with like pro-union people, they're like religiously bought into it. I think an actors union's a good thing, but this one is just, it's run by incompetence. And then they merge it and then everything gets worse. Oh God. And you know, the only good thing about merging it, because one of the really good things about SAG is their health plan. If you make enough money, you get really good health care and a good dental plan. That doesn't cover this one thing that I had to pay for when my tooth blew up, but you know, God damn it. I'm getting upset. Never mind about the union. I don't want to talk about the fights I get in with people who are pro union, but they just buy into it religiously. You know, they buy into it religiously and they don't think, hey, this is getting worse. Like the merger made everything worse. I mean, and the unions being separate, it wasn't good, but now it's worse. Man, and then, like, they still not doing anything about runaway production. There's less and less work for me every year because of runaway production. Now they're going to Mexico and Canada and Eastern Europe. It's ridiculous. And LA's not doing anything to stop. Like, there's states all over the country of the United States of America where I live that are given tax incentives and tax breaks to productions. So the productions are going there. And, you know, small actors like me, it's because the amount of work we can get goes less and less and less. It's terrible. It's a terrible state of things. Anyway, so I had to pay out of pocket to get the tooth out. So Thanksgiving wasn't a complete disaster. And you know, I got Vicodin, so I was able to eat. And luckily, you know, Thanksgiving food tends to be very soft. It's soft, mashy food, which is what I had to eat all week, was soft, mashy food. And, you know, and I couldn't drink. I couldn't have a glass of wine or anything because I was taking all these antibiotics. And I didn't want to get an infection because I had a job. Like, the 2 hours after I had my tooth extracted, I booked a commercial, which shot actually yesterday. And I'm so lucky that the tooth that I cracked was all the way at the back of my mouth. So you can't see it. So, you know, visually it doesn't matter. I still have to get it replaced because your bite will get messed up or whatever. So I had a job. So thankfully, at least I had a week to recover. But, you know, I couldn't drink. I didn't want to take the chance of getting an infection in my face swelling up and not being able to do the job. So I had to take really good care of myself. I did have Vicodin, though. Vicodin's not great. Vicodin also, you know, gives me heart. A lot of painkillers give me heartburn, except for Tylenol. I mean, there's acetaminophen as well as hydrocodone in the you know, generic Vicodin, but whatever the hydrocodone, I don't know. It gives me heartburn. I don't know what to tell you. I'm a mess. I'm old. These are the problems. They're really weird problems, even for an old person, but they're my goddamn problems. They're my cross to bear. What a happy time to know the truth about yourself, I guess. Fuck. God damn it. I'm so upset now. I've upset myself. Which is a ridiculous thing to do. Cause this is just a podcast. There's no sense getting upset. Anyway, so I had Vicodin. So I was taking Vicodin. Thanksgiving was good. I mean, my in-laws came over, my friend Dre, and then it was my wife and my son and I. And we all, you know, it was a nice day. And then we hung out. My friend John came over. John Salvia came over at night. And we watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles while I was on Vicodin. And him and my wife drank wine, and I was jealous. But that's okay. You know, Vicodin's all right. Although my wife kept asking me, "Are you okay?" Because I was just vacant. Vicodin makes me vacant. Like, it kills the pain, but I'm like, I don't care. I don't have any feelings when I'm on Vicodin. You know, in the end, I guess that's kind of cool, but after a few days, it gets old. So yeah, I don't like Vicodin. I used to like it, but I think I've aged out of it. I think I need to, next time I get Percocet or Percodan, one of those. I never had those. I hear that's awesome. It's too bad they don't just give you Quaaludes, you know? Nobody makes Quaaludes anymore. I hear they're good. All the people I know who came up in the 70s said Quaaludes are fantastic. Get some Quaaludes. Anyway, So Thanksgiving was good. We actually didn't cook, really. We just heated food. We got some, you know, one of those pre-made turkey dinners at the supermarket, Albertson's supermarket. And all you do is put it in the oven for a couple hours to heat everything up. It was good. It was really good. The food was good. And I got some buttermilk biscuits, and I made those. And my mother-in-law picked up a couple pies. Had this chocolate chip cookie pie from a local diner called Lulu's. On Balboa and Roscoe, they make this thing called chocolate chip cookie pie. Oh my god, it's the best thing of all time. It's so good. And there was also pumpkin pie, and I ate too much, and it kind of felt ill because I've gotten really good in the last year and not eating too much. I've, you know, keep my portions small, so, you know, because I was getting fat, and you know, I it's not like a health kick. It's just total vanity. I'm not even going to lie to you. It's not because I want to live longer. Fuck that. I want vanity. I want to look all right. You know, I'm never going to look like an Adonis when I'm naked. I'm just not, that's not my body type, but my wife is, she's a charitable woman. So, you know, when I get naked with her, you know, I mean, I think when it was fat and pudgy, she had to be extra charitable. But now that I've lost some weight, like, less charitable, it's still charity, but she has to be less charitable. You know, it's almost cute. You know, it's like, oh, he's not so fat. He's not really good looking, but, you know, it's cute. You know, so less charity is involved. That's sort of why, you know, it's a vanity. It's vanity. I'm not a health nut. I still eat crap, but I just eat less of it. Anyway, and you know, more often, just trying, you know, it kicks the metabolism. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, ate too much, got a tummy ache, of course, but that's fine. Ultimately, it was nice, and then the rest of the weekend was pretty mellow. I had to, you know, take it easy because I was recovering from this tooth thing. And I gotta say, you know, I like losing this tooth. It's fucking killing me, man. It's depressing. I don't know what it's the weirdest thing. I mean, it's like I've never had, not since my wisdom teeth, which you're, you know, kind of supposed to get out because they're problematic. So I had my wisdom teeth pulled when I was a kid, you know, and other than that, my baby teeth, I've never lost a tooth that you're supposed to hang on to forever. And this is the first one, and my mouth still feels really weird. Like there's a part of me that's missing. I mean, it sounds so insignificant. You know, a tooth, people lose teeth all the time. You know, that you get knocked out. They get knocked out in a bar fight or whatever. You know, people lose teeth. But I don't know. It's got me in this funk. I'm in a funk about my tooth. It's weird. It's like I lost a part of myself. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's just like a sign of age. It's just like, you know, the body deteriorates no matter what you do, and here it is. Here's a major deterioration. I lost a tooth. I don't know. It's killing me. I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. I'm really depressed. And actually, I ran into this guy named Stoney at a commercial audition. Nice guy. You know, we came up in commercial. We don't hang out. We just see each other at commercials, you know, commercial auditions. And, you know, occasionally on sets when they need two of the basically the same type. He was like, how's Thanksgiving? I was like, well, I had a tooth extracted a couple days before, but other than that, it was fine. And he said, you know, that happened to me once. He had a cracked tooth and had to have it removed. And he was like, it depressed me for a couple of months. He was just down. And I was like, that's so weird. I've been really bummed out. And he's like, well, you're not alone. So I guess it's not a phenomenon that is my own, which apparently a lot of the things that I suffer from physically are quite simply my own. Anyway, that's my tooth and my Thanksgiving, as I promised I'd discuss. And now it's time to talk about the email I got from God, guy who calls himself God. Now, just I've been aware of this person. For all I know, it's a woman. I don't know. God. Who knows? All I know – no, I think it's a guy. Yeah, it's got to be a guy. It could be a woman. It could be a lesbian. But I'm judging by the email that God is a guy. But he's been following, you know, my other podcast and my comedy group, Film Pigs, for a long time. And he comments on our website, filmpigs.com, quite a bit. Seems like a good guy, good humored fella. Although naming yourself God, if you're not actually God, that's interesting. It's quite a choice. When my wife saw the email, she was a little taken aback by it. But you know, to each his own. Anyway, God wanted me to talk about a couple of things. He asked about girls and their ponytails. He said, what happened to the ponytail? Girls used to wear ponytails. Now they don't. He says he misses ponytails. God misses ponytails. That's really interesting to me. I really hadn't thought about that. You know, sometimes my wife will put her hair in a ponytail, but that's just because, you know, it's the morning and she wants to get her hair out of her face and it's just convenient. You know, I think that's ponytails for the most part are like an at-home convenience thing. But God's obviously talking about the ponytails of yore. You know, the last time I remember seeing rampant ponytails was when I was in college at NYU. There were a lot of ponytails that would stick out the back of baseball caps. That was a popular look then. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was associated with a stereotypical Jewish American princess, which makes it doubly interesting that a guy named God would miss ponytails. I don't know if that's true. I'm not really good at picking out who's Jewish and who's not, but there were certainly a lot of rich chicks who NYU has a lot of richies. It's an expensive school. I wasn't a richie, but there were a lot of richies there. But there were a lot of girls who would wear the baseball cap and the ponytail. And I was, you know, I was in college, so I was horny as hell. So I certainly remember that look as something that made me horny. But just about every look made me horny in college. Come to think about it, most looks make me horny now. I just, you know, sometimes the thought of actually having sex makes me tired because I'm old and I don't – and I'm missing a tooth. No, I'm just – I don't mean that. I still love – ah, fuck. I'm getting so old. It's killing me. It's dying is killing me, you guys. Anyway, why it went out of style, I really don't know. Things go out of style. I think the ponytail – I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it was because it started to become associated with a particular negative stereotype. Maybe it's because, you know, ponytails are often used in that fashion I mentioned where my wife will put her hair in a ponytail to get it out of her face when she's cleaning or whatever. So it become it's more of a, you know, at home casual look. And the ladies don't want to look casual when they're out. A ponytail looks casual, lazy, whatever. I don't know. I don't know. I'm good with ponytails. I'm good without them, you know, ponytails, pigtails. Either way, I'm a flexible guy. I like many looks. I'm sorry to you, God, that you miss them. But maybe if you meet the right girl, you know, when you guys are doing some sexual role play, you can ask her to put her hair in a ponytail and wear a ball cap and pull it out of the back and you can pretend you're at college in the 90s, early 90s. Jesus Christ, I've been out of college for so long. I think I'm going to cry. Anyway, the other thing, God, and it was sort of on the same wavelength, is he was wondering why so many women these days get tattoos. And he very explicitly said he does not care for tattoos. And if he was ever to marry a woman, he would most likely demand that she remove any tattoos. Now, I think that's an incredibly controlling thing to do. If you meet someone, you fall in love with them, you can't demand that they remove their tattoos. That's not unconditional love. That's very, very conditional. So you might want to let that go. Me personally, I don't have a problem with tattoos at all. I think tattoos can be very sexy. They have to be good tattoos. Shitty tattoos are not sexy. But you know, good tattoos are, it's body art. I don't mind that. And God mentioned, you know, piercings being gross. I don't have a problem with piercings, either. It's just, you know, those ring ones where there's like a hubcap inside the ear lobe thing. I don't like that. That's gross. But you know, I mean, it's like not something I want to look at, but at the same time, it's your body. Do what you want. I don't mind piercings. I think tongue piercings can be kind of sexy. Belly button piercings are kind of sexy. I'm not so much into the nose piercings. I mean, that looks kind of cool, but then inside, like when you're talking to someone, if you can see up their nose, you see like the back of the nose ring, you know, that holds it in, and it looks like a giant nose hair. So that element of it isn't very attractive. You know, it looks good on the surface, but the reality of the getting snot on the ring, and I don't know, it just seems, it's a bit much, don't you know? It's a bit much. So I would say I'm cool with those things. You know, and I wouldn't be above getting it on with a, you know, I'm imagining I'm single, of course, right now. You know, You know what I mean? But I wouldn't have a problem getting it on, certainly with someone who's like punk. I always liked punks. And the truth is, the first porn I ever saw was like a porn magazine, and it had punk chicks in it. So ever since then, I've like kind of thought punk chicks were hot. So tattoos and piercings and weird hair kind of turns me on. But a couple of piercings, you know, are a bit much for me. Like I said, the hubcap in the earlobe, or looking up and seeing, you know, a booger covered nose ring back, you know, but whatever. It's like, you know, self-expression. It's all good. I have no problem. I don't have any tattoos myself, nor does my wife. I mostly don't, because I've never been able to figure out, like, there isn't a symbol that represents me, that I think would make a good tattoo. And, you know, like, the only tattoo I can think I might get is a tattoo of Laugh Caddio, the lion who shot back, which is it's a Shel Silverstein character, that he drew in the book, Laugh Caddio, the lion who shot back. But, you know, it's like, I got that, like, getting a tattoo on a visible place. Like, for one, I'm an actor, so it's kind of better that I don't have tattoos, you know, that they have to cover up, because that's a pain in the ass. But I don't know. If I got that tattoo, I would have to explain it to everyone. Well, that's Laugh Caddio. What's Laugh Caddio? It's Shel Silverstein book. Really? Shel Silverstein? I like Where the Sidewalk Ends and Missing Peas and The Giving Tree. I know those. I don't know Laugh Caddio. It's a more obscure Shel Silverstein children's story. It's more obscure. It's my tattoo. I don't want to explain it to fucking everybody. You know what I mean? I guess that's sort of my thing about tattoos. But as far as it, you know, on women, I often kind of think it's hot, you know, and I'll get with a pierced tattooed chick with a ponytail. I'll do it all. I'm an open-minded, cool guy. It's strange that you have these problems, especially with the tattoo thing, because that's such a judgmental thing, and you're God. But I guess God, if you are the Judeo-Christian God, as far as all I've read in the Bible and stuff, you are a very judgmental sort. Very, very judgmental. So I guess it makes sense that you would be judgy. But you know, you might want to loosen up, because you could be closing yourself off. I think we'd be like people, you know how like they say people have a type, or you have certain tastes in other people. You might be closing yourself off to a lot of opportunities by having this rigid list of things. It's very interesting when you talk to people who you might not necessarily have thought of, like that walk through the door and you go, oh, she's perfect. You talk to her, and then suddenly that person becomes ludicrously sexually attractive to you, regardless of tattoos or wardrobe or whatever, you know. Let go of those lists. And you should certainly, you know, you can't help yourself. You can't help it if you're not attracted to somebody, then, you know, you'd be polite, but you know, let go of those lists, let go of those judgments. You might be letting some true loves pass you by, God. That's my advice to you. And, I'm old, so you should listen to my advice. It's sage. It's wisdom. It's sage wisdom. So that's about going to wrap it up for this post-Thanksgiving Toncast. I hope you've enjoyed it. I will try to do a few more, two more. There'll be two more podcasts this year. I'm holding myself to that. There's only a few weeks left this year. Obviously over the Christmas break, I have the family, so it gets very difficult, but I got next week and the week after, to record some things. So I'm going to dig up some of these end of the year lists, you know, always at the end of the year, all of the pop culture magazines and internet sites and whatnot, all they do their stupid lists. So, as I did last year, I'll go over some of those lists and weigh in on their opinions, and their lists. I'm not going to list things on my own. I'm going to react to other people's lists in satirical and ironic fashion. So look for that in the next couple weeks. And sorry, I've been gone the last couple of weeks. I hope you can forgive me, given what happened and all that's gone on. But I'm back, and we'll wrap up the year together, you listener, God, and me, and maybe Susan Tankersley. I don't know. Whoever else listens to this crap. Why do I even do this? Toncast.